Welcome to the Lightning 50 e-commerce growth hacking podcast brought to you by Bright Pearl. Want to turn your business into a cash generating machine? You've come to the right place. This bite-sized podcast reveals the technology secrets fueling the world's fastest growing online brands. And for our host, we have retail industry expert Caroline Baldwin. She'll be sharing her own wisdom and experience as she interviews high growth e-commerce brands to uncover their secret tech tools and tips for success. Let's get started on supercharging your growth. Here's Caroline.
Hello, I'm Caroline and welcome to the Lightning 50 e-commerce growth hacking podcast. Today we're speaking to Freddie Ward. He's the CEO at Wild Cosmetics. Freddie, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. And thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, not a problem. Really looking forward to hearing about your story. So tell us a little bit about the Wild Cosmetics business and how e-commerce has helped you get to where you are today.
Wild's mission is quite simple. It's to try and help people remove single-use plastic and to create high-performing natural formulations so our customers can switch to more sustainable personal care products without compromise. We started working on the business in 2019, launched the business kind of properly April sort of 2020 in the week that the world went into COVID lockdown. So it was definitely a kind of interesting time, but a very good time to be in e-commerce, or a very lucky time to be launching an e-commerce business. And it's been a really exciting growth journey ever since. We started as a direct-to-consumer business, but we now sell in Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Boots, and then also international, so we're in Germany, France, the Netherlands.
Fantastic. Well, just even from an expansion perspective, you know, in a mere two, 3 years, being on the shops of some of the biggest supermarkets and being in Europe, a massive congratulations there. So your most recent year's growth rate is 322%. I have down in front of me, which has led you to be number 5 on the UK Lightning 50 list of fastest growing brands, and you are the fastest growing health and beauty brand in Britain. So a massive congratulations. How did you achieve that?
Well, thank you. That's obviously great to hear, and I think, you know, there's a bit of luck in there, obviously, the luck on timing, and I think a lot of it comes down to we have a great team. They're really passionate about our mission, really focused on kind of trying to deliver a great product to our customers. I think a big part of our growth strategy has actually come down to focus as well. So we've just tried to do one thing well. It's just a refillable deodorant that you get with Wild at the moment. So you get an aluminium case and you get biodegradable bamboo pulp refills, and that's all we sell. You know, we've really just tried to make that better. We're using customer feedback, using insights. I think we're on our 6th, 7th iteration of the deodorant, and we're kind of constantly tweaking the packaging and all those areas to really make sure we become the best we can be in deodorant before we kind of move on to other products. And I think that's definitely helped us in the growth so far. And then obviously, you know, sustainability is just a really big macro trend that people are looking for easy options where they don't have to compromise to make changes. And hopefully Wild is fulfilling that need in the market.
You've really hit on a good point there with sustainability and making it easy for customers. That's something that we're hearing. You know, customers really want to do their bit, but if it's not an easy switch or it's more expensive, then it's a massive turnoff to consumers, especially at the moment when there's so much else going on in the world as well that seems immediate right now. So in terms of sustainability, from your perspective, is part of your business a subscription business as well? So it just kind of takes that thought process out of the customer's minds?
Yeah, so about 50% of our business is subscription. And you know, I think that is to try and make it really, as you say, easy. Deodorant is quite a regular purchase, something you don't really want to kind of worry about. And we deliver them just kind of in a large letter format, so they fit easily through your letterbox, and you get sort of 3 refills at a time delivered to your door. And that lets our customers kind of explore, and it also means we can reduce the price for them, so be really competitive for a natural product versus, you know, what people may be used to be paying for natural products.
Your growth rate is really impressive considering deodorant is kind of one of those staple FMCG type brands that people tend to, when they start using deodorant, go with a brand and they're with the lifelong customers of. How have you managed to make that switch with your customers, do you think?
I think it definitely is a category where, and this is one of the benefits, is one when people choose a deodorant and they like it, they become very loyal. So that's definitely helped us. And then, you know, from our side, it's just been a market that's crying out for innovation for a long time. You know, a lot of the brands feel quite dated. They're quite gendered. All of these sort of main players are in a race to 72 hours or, you know, 2 weeks or how long your antiperspirant can kind of last. And I think this sort of gets to a point where, you know, customers, you know, don't necessarily want the chemicals you need to put in to stop you smelling for a week. Maybe not things you should be spraying all over your kind of body. So I think there's a sort of like, look, if natural products can work on a par or compete with the efficacy of these products and just be really simple and easy to use and simple ingredients to understand, then people are willing to give it a try. And that's, you know, that inquisitiveness has really helped us. And then it's down to us to make the product good enough to keep our customers coming back, which has really helped the growth rate.
That's so true. Unless you're like off to Glastonbury, why would you need a 72-hour deodorant? I do not know. So tell us, everything can't have been completely smooth sailing. You know, you say you've had a bit of luck, but obviously COVID was a couple of years ago now, and the last year growth rate for your last year has been incredible as well. What have some of the more challenging areas of the business been over the past year?
I think growing any business at over 300% in a year is hard to predict. And I think our operations team definitely have had to work really, really hard to keep up with demand. And our growth rate, whilst it sounds kind of linear and you're growing every month, it's a really squiggly line when I draw it. So, you know, we kind of have quite dramatic ups and downs and highs and lows, and you've got to sort of hold your nerve a little bit at times when things aren't going well. And then you've got to make sure you don't get too carried away when things are going well. So I think for us, forecasting, planning, stock management, and then I'd say the supply chain has just been really, really hard over the last 12, 18 months, as, you know, COVID, Brexit, and now kind of inflation. And it just means, yeah, it feels like we're operating in one of the most challenging kind of macro environments. And as a team, we just really try and focus on what we can control. Kind of, and then when we make mistakes, which we've made quite a few, it's about learning those lessons quickly and making sure when we make the next mistake, it's not the same mistake as we did last time.
Yeah, learning from your mistakes. And you'll be, I'm sure you're very well aware that you're not going to be the only guest on this podcast that has said about those exact same challenges. There's a lot of macro challenges impacting businesses at the moment. And the fact that you're still growing despite that is just absolutely fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about technology. What are the tech platforms that have really helped you get to where you are today? What platforms are you using?
Yeah, so we have quite a simple technology stack. We use Shopify and we use Recharge, which is the subscription kind of part of the technology side. We use Brightpearl as well for all of our inventory planning and software management. And then, you know, a variety of other kind of tools. We do quite a lot of our data insights in Tableau, and we use an analytics company called Conjura to kind of help us with that. So it's sort of quite a typical e-commerce tech stack, but that's some of the tools we use to help us.
And what about future technologies? Is there anything, you know, coming over the horizon that you're looking at that you're thinking, oh, actually, you know, that would make our business really sing next year and we'd love to roll it out?
It's a good question. I think certainly the Shopify ecosystem is evolving really, really quickly, and subscriptions are still a really painful thing to build, because the way Shopify is designed is it's designed to try and be as easy to use for as many people as kind of possible. But when you get more big and you get more bespoke, it starts to become a bit harder to kind of manage on the platform, particularly with the kind of subscription side. So I think the thing we're most excited to see is how these kind of technology apps develop and enable larger customers to be more customized, as well as allowing small businesses to be able to grow really quickly. I saw actually today that Glossier have just moved on to Shopify. So I think that's a good sign that really big businesses are kind of embracing that ecosystem, and yeah, hopeful, excited to see what they'll develop over the next few years.
Yeah, that's a very good sign. And how about further expansion than Europe? Are you thinking of maybe tackling the States? And what kind of tech do you need to, you know, really solidify your European growth and potentially go further afield?
Yes, I think a lot of it's building on our existing tech. And you know, really for us, it's about not overcomplicating it, trying to think of the most simple ways we can we can do it. I think we'll try the US, but it's a very scary market, and you know, there are a lot of challenges there. So I think we would go with our eyes wide open, and I think we'd be very patient and kind of see how it how that kind of worked. But I think, as someone said, America is a continent; it's not a country, and so you got a lot of complexity that you're going to add into your business if you grow that. The other side to that is obviously it's a huge market with lots of opportunity. So it would be silly not to find ways to kind of navigate that.
And finally, before I let you go, talking a little bit more about on the sustainability side, we've said how it's a macro trend that's clearly helping you in terms of your growth and customers coming to you for a sustainable product. How do you manage to keep your business green as well to make sure you're sustainable throughout? Surely there's a lot of terms of making sure your house is in order so customers are happy that you're green throughout. Has that been challenging for you?
Yeah, so I think we're working towards B Corp accreditation, and I think that just gives you some external metrics to measure yourself against. You get a score for that, and it kind of highlights areas that you know perhaps are not doing as well as your other peers, etc. So we kind of use that, and that's in our KPIs, and you know, it's built in therefore into your shareholder agreement, and you have to report it on it quarterly to the board. So I think it's about creating accountability and then trying to be as transparent as possible. But, you know, I really feel if you're going to be a sustainable brand, then you've got to deliver on the kind of wider perspective and kind of walk the walk a bit. And so it's definitely something we kind of put at the forefront of our decision making and work really hard to get better. But it's never ending. You can always become more sustainable. There's so much you can do. And again, like anything in business, it's about prioritizing the big things, the things that really matter, have the big impact, and then optimizing the small things once you've done that.
So true. And good luck to you on that B Corp journey. I know it's not an easy win, that it's a lot of work. So amazing job there. So as we said, you ranked number 5 in the UK Lightning 50 list of fastest growing brands. What does this recognition mean to you, the business, and your employees?
I think it's testament to their hard work. They worked really, really hard. It's a great team. They're really young, super ambitious, and you know, they should be really proud of it. But on the other side, you know, growth is one side of the story, and there are lots of other parts of the business. And I think the main thing for us is we're very grounded. We won't get too carried away, and we're just focusing on, you know, what we can do over a longer term time horizon. I think is more impressive than what we can do on a year-to-year basis. So really thinking about the impact we can make 5-10 years down the line, and making sure we're all focused on that journey whilst you know, definitely celebrating these wins, but as I said, not getting too carried away.
A huge congratulations there, Freddie. What a fantastic story, and thank you so much for sharing it with our audience. What an episode to end on. This one marks the end of the series, so to our audience out there, thank you so much for listening to the Lightning 50 e-commerce growth hacking podcast. We hope you've learned plenty of growth tips from our excellent brands who have made it onto this year's list, and thank you to everyone who's taken part and to our listeners out there. We will speak to you next time.